Let me just briefly talk about the Psalms. I had it in my mind for a long time, but I just couldn't do it because to talk about Psalms every Sunday, let's say I'm going to preach through the Psalms, it is not an easy thing to do. I have tried to in previous churches. We had this morning prayer time. So we utilize that time to go through the Psalms. So I have preached at least a third of Psalms to a group of people for extended period of time. But Psalms, doing the Psalms is very hard. First of all, because it is ahistorical. There is no historical setting except few. Few Psalms do have the introduction at the top of the Psalm giving some background, historical background. But by and large, it is just very difficult to relate to on Sunday morning. You come in and you hear someone preaching from Psalms, and it sounds like and it feels like that is a one of the Thousand Islands. You know, it just one is there. We appreciate that, but it is just too big, and there's no historical setting, so it's kind of difficult to relate to on a given Sunday morning. Another one, the reason why it is so hard, is because the emotional range that the psalmist goes around, from the depth to the height of that range. Most of the people that I found out is that during Sunday morning, you are not really prepared to go with that emotional ups and downs of the psalmist. You know, you just walk in with your children and you want to listen to a sermon, you want to participate in worship. But by and large, the Psalms are very emotional, raw emotional state that is coming right at you. So I find for two reasons. First, historical setting is not there. It's very difficult to preach and also listen to. And second reason is just emotional dynamics, and the range is just far reaching. And it is sometimes I would say, wow, that's just too much to relate to on a given Sunday morning. So I find that this stay home order time would be a good time for us to read God's word together. And I think this is the right setting, at least for me, to talk about the things that I wanted to talk about. So that's why I'm doing this. And even if you cannot join me live during this time, I really hope and pray that you could take a listen. The reason why I am starting today, though I've been thinking about this past couple of weeks, is so that today will be just to get the ball rolling, for you to see what this is about, to check it out, and I am going to give you some practical thoughts today. So I am shooting for about 30 minutes. I spoke for first 7 or 8 minutes, but it stopped probably because the audio was not working or something like that. So that's the kind of brief background why I am choosing the Psalms. And second part that I want to talk about is how to tackle the Psalms. You have probably, and me too, myself too, we have a handful of Psalms that we know and love. And you probably have heard preachers preach a short series on a psalm, depending on what portions. And something like the tragedy happens, many times pastors turn to psalms to find consolation that is there in the psalms. But to me, that is why it is very difficult for regular Christians to understand the book of Psalms, because those attempts are like seeing a tree in a state park and admiring it. From time to time, preachers or you study the Psalms and you go to your favorite Psalms, but to me, you're looking at a tree in a vast forest. Let's just say it is a state park. And you look at this tree, Psalm something, and you go to this tree and you look at that tree. But if you do not see the whole picture where that forest is located and how you go down this path to reach the downstream, or you go that way to upstream, or you find a cliff. You see, in movies and if you look at those documentaries, whenever you are lost in a forest, what do? You go to the high point. You climb a tree or you go up on a high point to look at the entire plain and see where I am, where this valley is located, how am I going to go about that way to reach a certain point. I think Psalms are like that. Psalms, 150 Psalms are like a state park. And if I'm not mistaken, most of Christians do not even attempt to navigate it because you just don't know where to go. Where do you turn to? And some of the few Psalms we understand, but it is only like looking at a tree. So I've been thinking about this for a long time, even for my own sake. And the reason why we are not familiar with the Psalms is because of two reasons. First, like I said, we never see the forest. We do not attempt to see the forest because 150 Psalms really is a daunting amount of work. It is just too much. So we never really get to see the forest. And second reason why we are not familiar with the Psalms, with the knowledge that I've been saying, is because we really never spend time in the forest. If you are a hiker, let's say you go to Bear Mountains in the upstate, you go to those state parks and you take a hike, and there is a trail. There's an easy trail, there's a medium travel, there is a difficult trail, and blue trail, orange trail, whatever trail you choose to go. I think Psalms is like that. First, you need to see the big picture. And as long as you do not see the big picture, you will never find your way. And second of all, for us to understand the Psalms, you have to spend your time in the forest to see the way. You know, if you go to the state park first time, second time, third time, you will feel better because you know your way around that town and around that forest. So two reasons. First, we need to see the forest. Second of all, we need to spend quality time in the forest. You know, I always admired people who knew their way in the Psalms, and that had happened in, I often refer back to my time at Ligonier Ministries, because I think, once again, that is more recent time for me. And there was a professor with us, and during the time of whatever the topic that he was teaching, he was constantly referring to the Psalms. So after a week or so, I approached him and said, How do you know which Psalms to choose and which Psalms to refer to? It seems like it's in your head, and would you mind sharing some of the secrets with us? And he basically said, well, I just don't know. I've been reading it and I don't know what to say. So ever since, I've been trying to study on my own how to navigate through the Psalms, and that's what I'm trying to do. Now, this part, the how part right now, what I'm about to say would be the biggest takeaway for today. I am shooting for about 30 minutes today, but I have lost about seven or eight minutes of my talk. It just dropped out and it just stopped. But what I'm about to say next few minutes will be the most important part of how to tackle the Psalms. And even if you cannot join me or do this during this time, this month, I want you to at least listen to this. So when you have time and when you are able to do this on your own, you will have some idea to where to start, how to start. I will be giving you some of the summary statements from now on, not today, from some of the books that I've been reading and studying. And let me just introduce you a few things. First is How to Read the Psalms by Tramper Longman. Tramp Lohman, he was, I think he still is, one of the biggest names in the Old Testament scholarship. He graduated from Westminster Seminary, I believe, but past decade or so, he is associated with BioLogos Foundation. They say the first few chapters of Genesis is not historical. So I don't know if he held that view for a long time or not, but at least this was written in 1988. But this is one of the best introductions to the book of Psalms. So if you are going to purchase a book to read for yourself, this will be it. But I understand most of you, even if you purchase a book like this, you do not have time to go through this. So what I'm going to do is starting next week, I am going to give you summary statements from these books. So first one is this. Second one is this, The Flow of the Psalms by Opama Robertson. Opama Robertson, he is very well known for the covenant theology that he has written, and he has seen the Christ in and through the prophets. And this is The Flow of the Psalms. I think this is his most recent publications. And it is published by PNR, one of ours, right, in Reformed circles. So this is another good book for you to understand the book of Psalms. And one of the recent publications, again, was by Bob Goffrey. He was the president of Westminster Seminary in California. A great guy. I've met him a couple of times. Great guy, great scholar, URCNA pastor. But Learning to Love the Psalms was one of the first books that he has written after he retired from the teaching post. This is more like a light treatment of it. I haven't read it through the entire section of it, but I may use some of the approaches that he has taken in this book. So this is one of the most recent publications on the Book of Psalms by the Reformed theologians. And another thing, at least for me, during this season, this is what I want to do, is The Treasury of David. I don't know if you have heard about this book. This is a book by Charles Spurgeon. And if I remember correctly, in his autobiography, he talks about this as his one of his favorite books that he has written. It was a three-volume work. I don't know if I'm going to use this, but I will at least for me to meditate on this Treasury of David during this time. So these are the few books that I am going to refer to. If you want to purchase them. But by and large, I understand people do not have time to read all of that. So I'm going to distill it and bring some summary statements for next few weeks to give you the big picture, the forest picture, a view of what we want to do. And now, please listen to what I'm about to say. And I'm going to give you the book, the big picture. But like I said, you have to spend some time in the forest. You have to spend some time in the state park to realize which trail that you are going to take. And as you go back and forth, what happens is that you will form your own trail, like Jake's trail. Oh, I've been going down this path for a while, and I know my way around the Psalms. So for that to happen, this is my suggestions. And once again, I think this is the most important part. Starting today, after this, I am going to share a link on our Twitter. And you could just sign up, and it will give you the daily reading plan for 1 month. So you are going to read 5 Psalms a day. And it only takes about a month to read through the Psalms, 150 Psalms of it. But 5 Psalms a day, and I thought, you know, that's not bad. I understand some of you are very busy, but reading 5 pieces of Psalms a day is not a bad idea. So I will give you the link right after this, and each morning they will shoot you an email or whatever time you set it, and it gives you actually the chapters to your inbox.
and you just need to choose which version of it. I'm obviously using my NASB, NAS2, do this. But whatever version you choose to do, you could receive that notification a day. But here is my suggestion. I want you to resolve your mind for 1 month. Okay, I'm going to read Psalms for 1 month, and I'm going to finish it with that resolution. I want you to use a physical Bible. Now, this is a very big thing. Even though notification may come in your inbox and it has the electronic version of the Bible, NAS, ESV, New King James, whatever you choose to do, I do not want you to read the Psalms on your phones or in your tablet, because I want you to use the Bible, physical Bible, because with the chapters and verses. And the reason why I'm asking you to do is to form a muscle memory, that is mental memory. You are going to read 5 chapters a day, but it is not like reading Bible reading plan that you, oh, I have this Monday, I checked it out, I'm next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, no. Five Psalms, I want you to read it once, twice, thrice, third times, throughout the day, whenever you can, okay? So find a physical Bible that has actual chapter and verse in it, and you are going to read from, let's say, chapters 1 through 5, but you are going to read it in one setting. While you are reading it, what you are trying to do is to form in your head a memory lane. You are going to form a certain mental picture in your mind so that, oh, in my Bible, chapter 1, Psalm 1 is on the right-hand side, and the famous verse is on that right-hand side, some two-thirds below the line. So once you read that portion many times, what happens is that you are going to form a mental memory, and this is very, very important. That's how you are going to have a check mark, and by forming certain mark in a portions of Psalms, next time you, let's say tomorrow, is from 6th through 10th chapter. But what you are going to do is you are not going to go to 6th to 10th straight, but you are going to go through far from the first chapter and get to the second portion, that daily portion of it. But first few days will be easy because you only have, what, 5, 10, 20 chapters. But as time goes on, it will be impossible to do that. But for you not to lose the surrounding and try to form a memory, what you will do is whatever you highlighted, so from chapter 1, you will not look at and read the entire portions, but just look at those highlighted portions to form a memory. Okay, this is chapter 3. This is what that I like this verse, and you move on. And if possible, try to read that previous day's portion at least, and then go back. So you don't have to read entire 50 chapters. You cannot do that. But what I am saying is, read a physical Bible. Don't use electronic versions, but form a mental memory in your mind as you read, and highlight it. Famous verses that you like, write it down, write your whatever down, and it will be your marking. Just as in the forest, if you want to form a new path, you don't want to get lost. So let's say you are putting some kind of markings on the tree, and that's exactly what I want you to do. Obviously, even if we try that, it's going to be a big chunk of time that you have to spend. So how do you eat an elephant, right? One bite at a time. Don't get frustrated and don't give up. Okay, so that's the mindset that we are going to bring into this. So if you are once again joining me for the first time, I want you to sign up. I'm going to share the link for 1 month, 30-day reading of Book of Psalms, and you only need to read 5 Psalms a day. And try it. Try it. This, I think, is the best time to do this. But don't just read it once and then check it off and do something else. But throughout the day, if you are staying home, morning, after lunch, after dinner, at least three times, read that portion. Try to form a mental image in your mind. And I will give you the big picture starting next week. But today, I want to end with few ideas. Why should you study the Psalms to whet your appetite? First, I have shared you a link on our Twitter written by Stephen Lawson, one of my favorite preachers. If you have read any kind of Luther biography, you know that it's true. He was appointed a professor at Wittenberg University. It was a new institution. When he was appointed, it was about probably seven-year-old institution, young institution. And he was appointed as a professor of theology there. And one of the first things that he taught was the Psalms. We know Luther and justification in Romans. The just shall live by the faith. And we understand the importance of sola fide that he found in the Bible with the Reformation. But not many people know his understanding of the Psalms was that preparation time for him before he taught and read about Romans, he had taught the Psalms. So according to Steve Lawson, starting from 1513, he began expounding the Psalms. And he said, Romans gave Luther his theology, but it was the Psalms that gave him his thunder. And I like the way he has put it. To fight the fight that he had to fight, he had to have this fortified mind, right? It is a very difficult thing to put up a fight against the entire known civilization. One of the most powerful institutions at the time. And how did he do it? Did he have strength somehow? Was he naturally born that way? He had a strength in his mind? According to Steve Lawson, his study of the Psalms gave him that inner fortitude that he was able to withstand that period of his time of that fight against Catholicism and his Reformation. And Luther scholar Karl Truman says this. Back in the classroom, Luther continued to exegete his way through the book of Scripture, particularly in the Psalms and Romans. And those two works, it led to two significant changes in his thinking between 1512 and 1517 by reading the Psalms and Romans. So 1517, normally we say that's the Reformation, starting of Reformation. But past 5 years or so, he spent his time reading the scriptures of the Psalms and then Romans. And his view on the sin and baptism changed by reading those. Now, another reason why we should be studying the Psalms would be, well, Christ's own understanding of himself and his ministry from the Psalms. Last Sunday, I've talked about how Christ had formed in his mind what his ministry was going to be. You could say it was supernaturally because he was Son of God. He had that. He had that voice, inner voice or something like that. But another way to look at it is that he found his life's story and purpose by reading the Old Testament. By reading the Old Testament, he was informed of what he was set out to do, and the Bible talks about him. I think that's a better way to talk about it, because that's what Bible actually says. And let me read you that famous passage in Luke, the last chapter, Luke 24. Jesus appears to two disciples and a mouse. But later on, he appears to the disciples, and this is what he says to his disciples. In verse 44, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. So according to Jesus himself, it is not simply prophecies. It's not simply about this portion of prophecy, Isaiah or something, some other portions that talk about me. But Jesus says, entire Old Testament talks about me. The law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Those three categories are basically entire Old Testament. And you and I, we know his last words on the cross was what? He was crying out the Psalm 22, verse 1. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And later on, he gives up his ghost or his spirit and he dies in Matthew 27. So think about that. The last moment Jesus was spending on the cross, he was able to, probably unconscious, probably he's not fully aware, very difficult time, physically speaking. And what came out of his mind at the last minute was God's word. Wouldn't it be nice if you face certain moments in your lives and immediately in your mind, and in my mind, the word comes up by the Holy Spirit, but this portion of the psalm, this portion of the Psalms, wouldn't it be wonderful for us to have that in our arsenal to fight against all the things that we see and hear these past few weeks? Is just too much. And how are we going to fight it unless you and I, we know where to turn to and just drop your Bible and see where it opens up? That is not the best way to look at and study. I'll give you a couple more and I'll be done. Third reason why you should be study the Psalms is because, let's look at briefly Paul, Apostle Paul's theology, the famous one, Romans. Paul provides one third of the Old Testament quotations in the New Testament. He alone provides about a third of OT quotations that are found in the New Testament. And out of that one third portion, one fifth are the quotations from the Psalms. And what is striking about that fact is, you know, we learn much about sola fide, that great gospel truth from Book of Romans. But the way he argues about those portions is actually by quoting Old Testament. He quotes a lot of Old Testament in Romans, but a lot of it, they come from the Psalms. So for example, in Romans 3, verses 10 through 18, he's arguing what is normally known as, for us, total depravity. But the way that he backs it up is by quoting Psalms 14, 53, 5, 140, 10, and 36. He takes portions of it and re-edits it, and he just, his mind is just working and working. And the way he argues about the total depravity in Romans 3 is by referring back to the portions of the Psalms everywhere. So he would say, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God, and so on. But he puts all these portions of Psalms together to argue for total depravity. Hey, Paul, where did you get the idea that all men are sinful and all men are lost in their own sin and dead in their sins? He would simply say, well, look at these portions of Psalms. So that is a very encouraging thing. Another portion, sola fide, Romans 4, chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. I'll just read from verse 6. Just as David also speaks of the blessing on the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. And he quotes Psalm 32. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. So developing is justification by faith alone, Apostle Paul is quoting from Psalm 32. So you could be excited about sola fide and five solas of Reformation and how that is the narrowly understanding the gospel truth. But the fact is, Apostle Paul has drawn out those doctrines by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but much of it from the Psalms. So wouldn't it be interesting for us to read the Psalms and actually see in the Psalms not only the life and ministry of the Christ, as Christ himself said, but at the same time the great doctrines of the gospel truths in the book of Psalms. So once again, I'm just trying to whet your appetite, and I hope that you will have that some energy. Psalm is really a big mountain, is a big forest, and you need that energy and hunger to attack it. This time I'm going to do this during this 30-day period. Why? What is there to lose, right? You try and you read 5 chapters a day, once again, using a physical Bible too. Once again, if you read a few times, I tell you, you will form a certain mental image, and that's how you are going to conquer 150 Psalms, by breaking it down by portions and eat it by portions. You can't just do it at one time. The last one, last motivation that I want you to think about is because of the emotions. Earlier, I don't know if that portion was cut off or not. First few minutes I talked about it, but that portion is no longer, probably. But one of the reasons why I find it very difficult to preach from the Psalms is because Psalms is just ahistorical. There's no history except for few in the title that gives you background. But by and large, most of the Psalms do not have that. So people have hard time to relate to a certain portions of the Psalms. And another reason is because of the range of emotions. It's just too much, right? You come in the morning, those words of agony from praise just goes up and down and up and down. It's just too much. But that is precisely because this is the right time for us to study emotions. And once again, I'm going to read a portion from Tramp Longman's book, Why We Should Be Studying Regarding Our Emotions. And page 81. A bit long, but let me read you. I thought it was very encouraging. The Psalms put us in touch with our deepest emotions. The Psalms teach us that our emotions are grounded in our faith, in our covenant faith. Did you hear him? Psalms teach us our emotions are grounded in the faith, in our covenant faith. This contradicts our mistaken belief that emotions are something over which we have no control. Contrary to this, notice how in the Psalms, the composer's feelings are associated with his relationship to God. When God is distant, the psalmist is sad, afraid, ashamed, doubtful, even angry. When God is near, he is happy and secure. He even expresses his love. The Psalms can help us to discipline our emotions. This is beautifully stated. The Psalms could help us to discipline our emotions. This does not mean that we should repress our emotions. Far from it. If we follow the example of the psalmist, the Psalms are an honest expression of emotions. We get a privileged insight into the negative feelings of the psalmist to which we could all relate. it sometimes appears that the psalmist changed his negative feelings to positive ones in a brief moment. But this isn't how it happened. The Psalms compressed time in such a way that what was a long process appears as a sudden insight. Honest emotional struggle stands behind the Psalms. I think this is Trampol Longman at his best. Recently, he changed a lot. But at least in 1988, when he was writing this, as I was reading this, this is very encouraging. Psalms do express vast spectrum of emotions, but we could learn something from them, the psalmist, and we could really discipline our emotions. If you are like me, past even today, I don't know. Depending on the news, I don't know what emotions I will feel. Yesterday, after writing that newsletter, it just their White House briefing gave us some numbers, and it is a frightening thing. We are scared and anxious and somewhat depressed by staying home and really don't know what's going to happen for people who are losing jobs and people who cannot pay the rent. And all the things are just a lot is happening in our hearts and minds and in your own homes, probably too. But let the Word of God, especially the Psalms, show us the way. And that's why I want to do it.